It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the next room. My guest, this is so exciting. You know, when things just naturally happen in a very curious and cool way where you sort of get turned on to people. And we had a little trouble connecting because I was emailing and I think I might have been emailing to the wrong address. But I happened upon what is absolutely a premier expert in her field. She's on the cutting edge of near-death experiences and has been since 1978. She is the author of 18 books, countless articles, you name it, she has done it. She has talked to thousands and thousands of adults and children about their experience with NDE. And so without further ado, let me introduce you to PMH Atwater. Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. The next room. I mean, that's so intriguing. You know, a wonderful title for your wonderful show.
Well, thank you. You know, it's just always been my belief that we continue on and, you know, like really who, obviously, you know, you have a lot of research that we do continue on. But for me, instead of a heaven or whatever nirvana state, I just feel like our souls continue and that we're right here because we're energy, right? And so we're just a vibration. So we sort of shed our meat suit and we move on to the next room, whatever that may be.
What a wonderful way to put it.
Awesome. Well, thank you. You know, your book arrived today and my first thought was it's beautiful. It's called Dying to Know You, Proof of God in the Near-Death Experience. And is this your most recent book?
No, it's not. That one came out a couple of years ago.
Okay.
My most recent book will come out September this year.
Okay.
And it's called The Forever Angels. It's about babies and toddlers who have near-death experiences.
Wow. All right. So let's jump right in. How does one become fascinated with near-death experiences? Did you have one yourself?
I had three.
Three in 3 months. Do you mind?
I look back at it and I call it the heavenly sledgehammer effect.
Wow. That is awesome.
Yep. I was raped complications from the rape and miscarried January 2, 1977. 2 days later, had a major thrombosis in the right thigh vein, which it dislodged. And then 3 months later, March 29, just a complete collapse, total adrenal failure, had another one. And later that year, had 3 major relapses. I had to relearn how to think, how to talk, how to walk around and tell the difference between left and right, see properly, hear properly, and rebuild all my belief systems. So in this lifetime, I've had an opportunity to become a new me.
Wow. That's fascinating. And thus, you know, you have this heavenly sledgehammer effect occur. You come back, and I'm just assuming that you've got this major mission now to share your story. And then...
There was a really big voice that spoke to me in my third near-death experience. You know, that voice was so big. How do you even describe it? And I call it of God. My sense was it was of God, and it told me to be a researcher. There was no way I was going to be a researcher. I mean, of anything. I was on my way to being a bank manager. I was taking classes from the American Banking Institute. And then I died and, you know, went through all of this stuff. And then that voice having spoken to me in my third near-death experience. And it you know, it was very specific. It said, and I quote, test revelation. You are to do the research. One book for each death.
Wow.
Book number one was not named. Book two and three were named. Book two is future memory. Book three is a manual for developing humans, which came out last year. And, you know, I've just been doing my job ever since.
Wow. And so you travel all over, you speak in front of big groups of individuals that are curious about this, and you document your research with, because there's many stories in this Dying to Know You, Proof of God. I got into a lot of them today, you know, just extraordinary how they could describe what happened when they crossed, and then they came back and they had absolute total recall of their situation and details that normally there's no way they would have otherwise have been able to know. Like the guy that was in the car accident lost his arm and he was jumping up and down in some guy's window saying, hey, call for help. And then he's an artist. And later he draws the thing, he loses his right arm and he draws it with his left arm and draws the scene of where his car hit this tree. I mean, wild.
Well, bear in mind, my dear, that the police force, those nurses and everybody else that got there,
the paramedics
and the guy in the house were called in after he drew pictures.
Right. Wow.
And they said what he drew was so accurate. It was almost as if a photograph of the scene. Now, bear in mind, this man was blinded by the experience.
Mm.
His sight didn't come back for about 3 months. There was no way he could have seen or known anything. Plus the guy in the house that he floated up to. I mean, how do you explain how he got to the guy in the house? Who was on a ridge far away, and you know, he floated to the top of the tree after the accident and saw the light in this house. So he went over there. How he went over there, I don't know, but he went over there, and he's supposedly floating outside of the window, and he looked in and saw a guy inside and started yelling at him. Call the police. There's been an accident. Call the police. There's been an accident. The guy in the house, the police later said, looked out his window and saw what he thought was fog. Mm-hmm. And it was jumping up and down. He says, fog doesn't jump up and down. And then he heard this voice, literally heard a voice. We're not talking telepathy here. He heard a voice, and that voice said, you know, the directions. So immediately called the police. And then he went down there and you know, found the accident scene after a lot of searching. He was there when the police came, and all the crews came. And so, you know, how do you explain this? Near-death experiences are like this all over.
Right. Do you find that in your research and out of all the people that you're, you know, talking to that have had these experiences, do they come back with a grander purpose, or do they have like a message? Have you found that?
Kind of, sort of. And I'm saying kind of, sort of, because it's different for different people.
Right.
Some people, they feel like it's there was nothing to that. There was not, you know, no big deal. Other people are just, wow, you know, just, they can't hardly talk about it because, you know, they get tongue-tied. Other people are so changed. It's as if they become another person, or they become a better person or a bigger person or an incredible person. In my research, 21% didn't seem to be that affected by the experience. Everybody else, 60% significant changes, 19% radical changes. You're looking at 79% of nearly 5,000 people were so changed that it literally changed their life totally.
Mm-hmm. Is there, like I read that you, that, you know, that there's a greater awareness of how we are all connected. Does your research prove that?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Invariably they come back with this sense of oneness.
Okay.
You know, the most oft-repeated phrase by adults, this is not children, but by adults after their experience, is the phrase, always there is life. Now, if you really look at that phrase, always there is life, that means there is no before life. Mm. There's no now life. There's no afterlife. It means always, always there is life. It means that eternity is our home.
That's nice.
Well, it really makes you stop and think. And it really makes you take a better look at this kind of an experience, because it's not something people can phony, although some do. I have come across some people who lied about their experience. Yes, I have. Most people do not. And you can usually tell when someone is lying and when someone isn't. And of course, the big one is the after effects. You know, it's the after effects that validate the experience, not the other way around. And the after effects are physiological as well as psychological. So when we're talking about a bigger sense of the world and of life and of their life, we're also talking about changes in brain structure, changes in brain chemistry, changes in the nervous system, changes in the digestive system, changes in skin sensitivity. We're talking about things like they become more psychic afterward. They become more knowing afterward. Very often they develop electrical sensitivity. Many of them develop synesthesia, which is more than one sense report. For instance, if a near-death experiencer wants to buy a painting, they're looking at all of these paintings, they're seeing all these pictures, they will look for the painting they hear. They can hear the painting or feel the painting. So you're getting more than one sensory report. It's multiple sensing.
Right.
And it's elaboration of the limbic system in the brain.
Right.
So you get all these kinds of different kinds of things that begin to happen. And well, especially with children, very often you're visited by beings on the other side. Yep. Some people call them ghosts. No, not really. Just beings that that they see. Doesn't happen really that often, but once in a while.
So, okay. So have you found a commonality? I mean, you've talked about, yes, there's a oneness with it, but is there a commonality among the people that you're interviewing and the children that have had these near-death experiences that would lend themselves into having this experience? Like, why are some people having, you know, why are some people coming back, dying, boom, coming back? And why are others dying, gone, dead, not coming back? Have you?
Well, I can't really speak to why some live, why some don't. But I can speak to why some people have it and others do not. In my book, The Big Book of Near-Death Experiences, I have a most of a page on what I saw, what I encountered by those people who had it. And invariably, it would be people who were in a hurry in their life, didn't pay much attention to anything. In some way, were either living their life in such a way that they really weren't paying attention, or they were having problems in their life, or they were so, that their life was so full that they really weren't paying attention to what was really going on. It's like they were so busy that they sort of didn't stop to smell the roses, sort of thing. And invariably, those are the type of people would experience.
Okay.
And there's a whole list of these kind of before qualities that people would have that I found over and over and over again. I didn't find anybody who didn't meet this kind of criteria.
Okay, that's what I was curious about. If you just tuned in, my guest is PMH Atwater, author of 18 books, lots of articles, seriously a premier expert on the cutting edge of near-death experiences. And having had three of her own, she certainly knows what she's talking about. What for you, the name of the show is The Next Room. And I'm really curious because obviously that's why I have the show, and I'm currently writing a book as well about experiences from those loved ones that have passed on that can connect with us. What do you think, in PMH's estimation, what is next? What is in the next room for you?
What is in the next room? I'm going to have to say for the average person. And it seems to be a reevaluation of the life they have just lived. It's almost as if life is a school.
Okay.
It's almost as if we're sent here to learn, to grow, to experience. And when life is over, we have an opportunity, hopefully, most of us, to reevaluate and take a look. Jane, it's not us, you, me. It's our soul. It's like who we are is our soul. Our soul is so incredibly powerful. So incredibly sparkling and wonderful and vast. And it's like we're filled with this incredible energy, this incredible power that we can call our soul, that better part of us, that higher part of us, that greater part of us. And that soul seems to plan or participate in our life. And we grow from that, and we learn from that. And you hear that from experiencer after experiencer after experiencer. It's like we come here in our bodies, we grow this body, we see each other, this wonderful body that we have, but we come here to learn from the experience of being here and wearing that body and being able to grow and learn. And that seems to be what propels us.
Okay.
I hear so many experiencers say that that we are gods in the making. That is to say, and it says it right in the Christian Bible, mm-hmm. we are gods in the making. That sends that we are here for a purpose. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. And that becomes so apparent after one of these experiences. Very apparent.
Now tell me about, we only have a few minutes left, but you had mentioned before we even got started about a video that you did called As You Die. Tell me about that video.
As You Die, there was a young man in New York City who was dying of AIDS. This was a number of years ago. And he called me on the phone. And he says, I've been to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's workshops, Stephen Levine. He went down that whole list of experts on death and dying. And he said, none of them is telling me. And I said, what do you want to know? And he says, I want to know what it's like to die. So that's what this video or CD, whichever way you want to get it, that's what it's devoted to.
Okay.
Is to talking about, it talks you through physical death as you are dying and the separation of the soul afterward.
Okay.
And what I've found from so many families is they'll buy it maybe a year or two afterward and then listen to it and say, oh, how wonderful this is for them to, you know, to go through that process and realize that it's really holy. There's something holy. There's something wonderful. There's something sacred about dying.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm a fan. I mean, it, you know, I love this life experience, but I really think that it's very much part of life. I think it's just another, it's just
part
transition.
Of our life experience. It's
absolutely.
Dying.
We have to shed this because we transition to, I feel maybe a grander purpose. So, but you know, no one really knows, and I won't really know until I transition, nor will you. We can do research. We can talk to people. We can be curious.
Sure.
We can be seekers, and that's what I love. I love to read and talk about these topics because they fascinate me. Because, you know, this life experience is really exhilarating, and we have so many things to love and people to hang out with and play with, and I just refuse to think that the next chapter or the next room is going to be anything less than just, like you said, very sparkly. And very fun.
Well,
and
it's the next room in a very, very big house.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, PMH Atwater, Dying to Know You was the book that I was telling you about. I'll take a picture of the cover of the book. I'll put it on my Facebook page so that if you're curious, it's Proof of God and the Near-Death Experience. And I'll tell you what, it arrived today. I read six, almost seven chapters. The purpose clearly stated in the foreword is simply to allow the heart inside near-death experiences to speak. That heart, our heart of hearts, needs to be heard. I thought that was so beautiful. I, you know, that grabbed me and I'm like, oh, I'm going to really enjoy this book. And it's a short book, but she has a whole bunch. If you're curious, she has another book coming out in September. One quick question before you leave. What does PMH stand for?
Not a thing. That's my name.
Really? Your parents?
Really?
Your parents, they
named
you?
I'm just initials. That's it.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I'm just
initials. Like, I was giving you like Penny, Meriwether, Heather. I was coming up with all kinds of fun names for you.
Nope.
That's amazing.
PMH.
All right. Well, good to know. See, a curious girl needs to know these things. In closing, is there anything you'd like to share with my audience? And perhaps we can have you back on because we barely scratched the surface here today.
Oh, my goodness. Enjoy your life.
Mm.
Life is just so precious. Whether you're in pain, whatever illness or physical difficulty, just enjoy your life to the best of your ability. Even if you're in pain, enjoy that. I do.
Mm.
But know that on the other side of life, there is even more.
Well, beautifully said. Thank you so much for coming on the show. PMH Atwater has been my fantastic guest. The book I'm talking about tonight was Dying to Know You, Proof of God in the Near-Death Experience. However, if you want to know more about her, you're fascinated with what we've been talking about tonight, go to pmhatwater.com. You can watch videos. She's all over YouTube. You can see her speak on her website. You can read about all of her books and her forthcoming book coming up in September. Thank you so much for being on The Next Room. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane. And bye to everybody.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to The Next Room.